Let me invite you now to open your copies of God's Word. To Colossians chapter 2. We will be reading from verse 6 to 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, by your Spirit, to magnify your eternally great name. So I pray that you would be with the preacher, that we will have words that will be living, transformative, and helpful to our lives, Lord. Jesus, that you would be great, that your greatness would be amongst us. Spirit, that you would intensify a burning desire to glorify Yahweh. I ask, O King, if you would find it pleasing to look upon us and smile. Your children are here now, Lord. Oh, you are so great. Open our hearts now, Lord. You are helping the preacher, yes, but also help the hearer. I know I've read your word. I know about Isaiah, that there is a shutting of eyes and a closing of hearts. So some may not see and perceive, and some may not hear and understand, oh Lord, but I beg, if I can, like Moses, to intercede for those who have been rebellious, oh Lord. Oh, how much brighter will your grace shine behind the backdrop of rebellion. And so I ask, for you who has mercy on whomever you will have mercy upon, that you will have mercy upon us. Spirit, enliven your people and let us see some eternal realities in your word. No greater name than yours, Jesus. And so we ask it in your name. Amen. So when I was a kid, I loved swimming in the ocean. Well, maybe it was because I often felt alone that I yearned the feeling of being one with the ocean. Not that I became the ocean, but when my body was immersed in the ocean, it seemed like the ocean wrapped itself around me, so that you couldn't really tell the point of contact between me and the ocean when I entered or the ocean began. It wasn't merely ocean and me, but I felt like I was part of the ocean, like I actually became wet by the ocean. So nevertheless, I became wet by the ocean, but nevertheless, I wasn't the seawater, nor the ocean. However, I was in it, and so I was affected by it. It's like two separate entities becoming one. Well, united or union, being one with the sea, to dive in, to feel the wetness, the coolness, taste the ocean, to be in the ocean, to hold my breath. Oh, I loved to dive deep and hold my breath and to go as deep as I could, as the pressure in my head or my lungs would allow. And that was one of the restrictions that of being human that I thought was unfair. You know, the inability to breathe in the ocean. It didn't stop me trying, though. I tried learning to breathe underwater. Have you ever tried that? Like fish breathe in the sea. They take in water. And as it comes into them and it passes through their gills, somehow they extract oxygen to feed their blood vessels. So I would dive even in my bathtub, and while under, I would take in water. Granted, it was dirty, soapy water, and then I would breathe it out again, hoping that I could somehow learn to oxygenate my body to live in the water, to then go out and dive into the ocean, to swim deep into it, breathe in the ocean, live in the ocean, just like these remarkable fish. In the sea, but not the sea, but in it, and yet they are also filled with it. In fact, fish need the ocean, living in it and being filled by it to live. One with the ocean, in union maybe, not of it, but nevertheless, while in it, filled with it, they live. I wonder if that is the same kind of feeling and living we are to experience in Jesus Christ. God's glory as our ocean, to be one with Christ, united with Him, living in union with Him, is diving deep into His majesty, into His splendor, into His grandeur, into His righteousness, breathing in His ocean of glory, so as to live in Him by being filled in Him. Now I scratch my head and I gaze towards the heavens and I ask God if that is what He means when He speaks to us through His apostle, when He says in Colossians 2:10, and you have been filled in Him. If we are to be filled while presently in Him, I just don't see any room for anything else to occupy my heart or my mind or my soul. When I am not merely independently filled apart from Christ, but filled while living in Him. And so as my mind try to grapple, to understand what was being said here, my heart gets it before my faculties. I think it means even though I am broken and sinful, I come to be made whole and righteous by union with Jesus Christ, the one who makes me whole by fulfilling goodness and righteousness for me, and thence have been filled in Him. I am one with Christ, and so together I have no room for another. We aren't alone when we come to God revealed in Christ. Not only do we have each other, His body, the church, but we have someone who calls us to Himself in a triunity. The Son has united us with the Father by His Spirit. To be one in Christ is to never be alone again. In fact, to be filled in Him means while swimming in the ocean of God and His glory is also to have God work in and through our lives. I guess when we have a right understanding of God revealed in His Son and illumined by His Spirit, this feeling in Him is about right living. this oneness, this uniting our lives with Him and His union with us, it causes a life of flourishing. It promotes life. It's a transformative manner of living. I guess you could say we need and must learn to live by breathing in the ocean of God's glory, in His ocean. Another way I could say it is we must learn, and we need to learn to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Or I could say, Providence, we as a people must learn, we need to learn to live as saints in Christ. It's in this moment that I now have to warn you that what Paul is not saying, just in case you go down some erroneous track, like I'm sure the people at Colossae may have, or were on their way towards, why Epaphras wanted Paul to write to them. I need to warn you that God is not declaring Himself the ocean, like pantheism, as though God is the created order, the universe. No, our God created this universe. There is a God who has created everything, and so He is set apart from all things, even the universe. Nor is God somehow a part of creation while creation inserts itself into God's essence. No, creation, that is you, me, the whole world, is not of God's divine essence, like panentheism. No, God is, well, He is in a category all to His own. He is set apart wholly, and yet He still calls us to Himself, all those who would be spurred by His Spirit to His ocean, to the sphere of His Lordship. He does it by delivering saints or delivering sinners from the domain of darkness and transferring them as saints into the kingdom of His beloved Son. All of you who would repent of their rebellion against the Creator, including me, and acknowledge Jesus the Christ as the preeminent one, are now found in Christ the Son and grow in Him. I guess you can say we live in Him, being filled in Him, in the Son. We all are in the Son, but not of the Son, nevertheless filled in Him. And so I guess it's like a fish that swims in the ocean. You know, the fish is not the ocean, but nevertheless in the ocean, is filled by it, distinct, and yet needs the very ocean passing through its body to live. I ask God again, if that is something like what He means by Colossians 2:10, you have been filled in Him. It's about fullness. And if it's full, it's not empty, life, not death. So what fills our lives does matter. It does matter. And when we fill up with the wrong things, when we become one with philosophies that seek unrighteous domination or ideologies which seek destruction rather than creation, well, that's when we move away from being filled in Him. I wonder if we can spend a bit of time just setting our minds back in history. To some of us, 2 decades would be a lifetime, and others will remember what they were doing 20 years ago like it was yesterday. So in fact, 20 years ago yesterday, having a drink in a little bar, maybe in Cairns, it is September the 11th, 2001, and time has just seemed to pause. And all the necks in the bar are looking to the four corners of the building, watching and staring the TV, and it's so surreal, over and over again. 2 767s are shown plunging into twin skyscrapers in New York City, practicing Second World War tactics, terrorists filled with ideologies, united with a kamikaze-style philosophy, becoming one with destructive doctrines and aircraft. They've plunged themselves into the World Trade Center buildings, bringing destruction not only to themselves, but 2,997 people. You see, what fills our lives matter. And with what we unite ourselves, to become one will ultimately bring life or death, flourish or decay. What we fill our lives will drive our souls to either seek life or death. What fills our lives will either bring us to swim in the ocean of life or be taken along with the riptide of destruction. There is no in-between. There's just a lull between sets. Believers, you and I must begin, if we haven't done so already, yesterday, to learn and breathe in the living waters of Christ Jesus, to live, beginning to live forever in the sphere of His existence, to be one with very life, which is found in Christ. You know, you may say, you are not a terrorist. All right, then, don't go to that extreme. But what fills your soul? What ideological or philosophical currents do you allow to be swept along? Well, that would be the ocean in which you swim, in which you become one. With what we unite ourselves, Providence will either be for living or for drowning. Now, you may challenge me and say, what's so special about this Him you mentioned, this Christ Jesus? Well, let me show you whom and what we believe. In the previous verse, in Colossians 2:9, we read, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." At first, you may not think of this as a big deal. You may think that Paul is using some kind of poetic or figurative language, something that's flowery to give a bit of oomph to what he's trying to say. But it's infinitely above that. He's saying that in Christ Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Thus, the fullness of God, deity, resides within Christ Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that Christ's human body was filled with God. It doesn't mean that Jesus was filled with God, as though the essence of God's divinity has been poured into Jesus like liquid into a glass. So like God's divine essence has been poured and filled into the vessel of Christ's body. It doesn't mean that. It means that Jesus in the flesh has, in whole, without partitioning nor division, the fullness of deity, divinity, godness, dwelling, residing, occupying in His body. What we have is God in a human, God in man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. Christ did not become God by infusion. Christ Jesus is the incarnation of the image of the invisible God. Thus, this verse means Christ is tightly bound in God as God. Christ Jesus shares the whole fullness of God's essence. Or the essence, the nature of God is displayed perfectly in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Look at the five descriptors that we have there. Whole, fullness, deity, dwells bodily. Allow me to impress them upon you that you may know what is the ocean in which you must learn to breathe. Look at the first one, whole. Whole. Not a part, but every aspect, the entirety, fullness. Look at His fullness. Not lacking, complete, absolute, full measure. Deity, So divine, not temporal, angelic, human, or in creation, nor marred, broken, or evil, but what we have here is eternal holiness in a person. Dwells. Oh, that is one of the most understated words, I think, in the whole Bible. Dwells. Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it? Dwells. He's not absent. Not absent, but eternally present. Bodily. Not ghostly, ethereal, spooky, vapory-like, but real and tangible. You can feel Jesus. Beloved, one day you will be able to touch Jesus. Wrap your head around that. He's a better one. One day Jesus will be able to wrap his arms around you. Oh, what a day that will be. We are not chasing a pipe dream here. We're not chasing an intangible, abstract, unreachable, and non-experiential, spiritualized practice or ritual. Some ideology or philosophy, some ecstatic manifestation, and some transcendental encounter with angels. Do not yoke yourselves to foreign objects that will damage your faith. We seek a real, tangible person who is alive. And we're pursuing him. Oh, what a day. What a day. Close your eyes and think about it. You are allowed to do that as reformed people. Close your eyes and think about the day that you will be hugging the Savior. Oh, when he will wrap his caring arms around us and bring us close to his chest. Will we hear and feel his heartbeat? Does Jesus have a heart? Am I going to hear and feel him? Oh, close, am I? I don't know. But what I do know is that we shall see him and he will dwell with us. And you know what little else I know and is everything for me and should be for you? You have been filled in him. And you know, that one that I just mentioned, which Paul says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, well, you have been filled in that one. No, amen. Shameful. It's all about having been filled in him. And not with anything else. And so I guess what Paul is trying to say to the people in Colossae, hey, beloved, you don't need to be filled with anything else. You don't need to fill your lives with anything but Christ. You don't need to fill your lives with anything that will compete with the completeness that is found in Jesus Christ. And so that was the mission of Paul to the Colossians, and by extension to us, to impress upon us through this letter a fullness, not emptiness. And so I guess it's about fullness, about possession, about living, about experiencing true God in something that we'll be able to touch and see, and have close to us. Listen to the flow of the fullness language. I'm just going to read four or so verses from chapter 1 into 2. In Colossians 1:9, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be, look at that, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Colossians 1:25, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me to make the word of God fully known. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged to be knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Oh, and for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Christ Jesus, there is a fullness of the knowledge of God's will, a fully pleased God, a fully known word, a full assurance, a fully known God in Christ Jesus, a fullness in him. Christ Jesus, the Lord, brings fullness of life in him, and he brings the grace of God. First, in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See how it begins there? I'm not going to preach John. I want to, but I'm not qualified yet. But see what he just said then? What did we do there? In 1 John it says, we have seen. We have seen. We have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the full of grace. And then you read John 1:16, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Oh, you will see him. Some of you have just seen him, and some of you will receive him. In other words, the Colossians and all believers, that's you and me, are fully complete in Christ Jesus. Jesus brings fullness. Our fullness leaves no room for anything else. There's no room. When you're full, you're full. Our fullness is in his fullness. To be in union with God is to have completeness. Our fullness is he is our God, and we are his people. Our fullness is our security against falling away. When we are full in Christ, we won't be deluded by plausible arguments. When we are full in Jesus Christ, we won't be persuaded according to the human traditions, empty deceit, according to the elemental spirits of this world, according to things that are not Christ and not according to Christ. Our fullness is not emptiness. I want to somehow bring across to you that when you are a Christian and you're a believer and you set even a day a week for him, it's not for emptiness. You're not being drained. You're being filled. It's a fullness right now. I am trying as a man does, grappling with God's word, but God in his spirit, by the word of his son, through my own words, fills you. He's filling you. You need to be going, feed me, and keep growing in him. Our fullness is preparatory for what will come. When I'm full of Jesus, I think about it. I set my mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are of the earth. And so it develops hope. Hope. All the things that are going down now in the world. I'll try not to be political, but some of us are in despair. I have a friend of mine that I've known for since I was 12. She tried to do the right thing. She got the vaccine, paralyzed, directly related, 4 weeks now. They say it's not temporary, they've told her. She's a Christian. She's saying God's got a purpose, we're doing all that. 2 years they think the recovery will be. She's a dentist. Another mate of mine sent me text last night, I was sharing it around, has been stood down by Qantas as a pilot because he won't reveal his status regarding the vaccine. That's it, the status. What's your status? He says, I won't divulge it. You're stood down. There are many things that are going to grapple with us and make us not sure of what to do. But you need to know in the fullness of God, He is preparing you for something better than here, or you're a dentist, or you got the vaccine, or you're a captain. Now you're not a captain because there's something over there, and it builds hope. Regardless of your political views, doesn't matter whether you're pro-vaccine, not vaccine, irrelevant. There's something more. Do not set your minds on the things of the earth. We are here. I am trying to laser focus you no more on these political arguments or divisions that you have. Here, fullness with Christ. And the other things, okay, let's talk about them. But my mind is on the things that are above, my treasures laid up for me in heaven. Full of Christ, I am living like that. I am getting anxious about my own position at work. I had to say to myself yesterday, whose are you? Are you putting faith in the dollar? No, I have everything I need in Christ Jesus because I have been filled in Him. And so it's about living. It's about living as sons of God, as walking a life in Him. It's how Paul began this thought after his introduction in verse 6, up until from Colossians 1:1 all the way to chapter 2, verse 5. The very next word is therefore. He's now began a new thought and he says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, there it is. That's John 1:16. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now you are in Him. Live in Him. I giggle because it's so elementary, isn't it? It's like we have so many Christians. What do we do now? Live for Him. Okay? What does that mean? I love that, it's good, but you've got a commission. It's therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, Master, so walk in Him. At the very basics, all it means is you are walking as though you have a king. Please, when you're involved with people and they ask for your political stance, I'm not going political, but you've got a king. Don't say you've got a premier or a prime minister. No, my allegiance is to King Jesus. And it's so countercultural. But I know you say, I try to live, walk in Him, but I don't know how. And I believe you. I do believe you. And so maybe we are yet to learn to breathe in the vast ocean of God's glory. I think that's true. I don't think people, especially Christians, I don't think they're always rebellious. I think sometimes we just genuinely want to live for Jesus, but we just don't know how to begin. What do you mean, walk in His ways? And so I think maybe it's because we are yet to take in, to appropriate three realities of having been filled in Him. May I show you them? Three realities for those of you who are in Him. The first one. When you read Colossians 2:10, and you have been filled in Him, please take note of the tense, as in, when is this filling happening? Look at it, verse 10. Is it happening or will it happen? And you have been filled in Him. This filling has happened already. Did you know that's already happened in you, that you are filled in Christ? No? Good. You know why? Because then you may realize it's something that's already happened to you that you did not actively participate in, but has been done to you. You have been filled in Him. Now, usually when I hear sermons about this, many branch off to the rebuttal of works righteousness. You know, we want to say, see, You were passive in salvation. You didn't do anything. And that's so true. But I want to redirect your attention to what it means practically in living. We often focus on what Christ or God in Christ has done for me, right? Thank you, Jesus, for, listen to your prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation or the rest of it. And we say, He saved me. And I say, Amen, He did. It's so beautiful. Jesus saved me. But then we neglect to mention that God has also done something to you. Pause. Take that in. Jesus Christ has done something for me, salvation, but He's also done something to me. To me. It's not like, thanks, Jesus, for doing that. He's done something to me. Swimming in the ocean of His glory has affected me. It's not only what God has done for us that we need to have a laser-like focus in the Bible, but what He has done to you, so then it will help you live in Him. You and the church and me, we are all filled in Him. Filled. It's happened to you. So it brings us to reality number two. And you have been filled in Him. If we are filled in Jesus, in Him, to capacity, we have everything that we need in salvation. It's about salvation, yes. And that's what we're going to look at next week and the following week with circumcision and baptism, yes. But also in sanctification, our living. Again, it's usually kept as an indicative. It's a truth. It's a reality, which is beautiful. Oh, look what glorious grace God has in saving me, we say. And I say again, amen. However, practically, this means that we are already souped up. I'm already energized. I'm filled with Jesus. It's like we're a modified V8 engine. I always remember something from high school. Like we've got a double barrel holy. I never knew what that meant, but I knew it meant big and powerful. I've got it. But you know what's going on? We're already roaring, ready to go. But some of us are still waiting for some kind of spiritual feeling before pressing the accelerator. We are united in union with Jesus Christ already filled in Him. But see, you know what? You're saying, I can hear you. You think so loudly. You're saying, but I don't feel it. It's because you're only tapping the accelerator again. Can you understand what it means? Boom, 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 boom. You're already souped up. You're just barely touching the accelerator. There's no more to gain in Christ and everything to appropriate. Everything is available to us in Him. We just haven't realized I've got this power of the Creator of the universe in me. We have a souped-up car. You know, we've got a V. I don't know, is that the biggest car you can think of? V. And you know when we drive it, school time. So we get it out of the garage, 40k an hour. And we never take it out onto the freeway. We never go to the speed track. You are ready to go, and you just want to go 40k an hour. That's ridiculous. You're eternally powerful in Him, filled already, past tense. I try to make this relevant to us, so excuse me for my pathetic illustrations. It's like a Thermomix. I don't know if you know what a Thermomix is. I barely know what a Thermomix is. It's like getting a Thermomix and only boiling rice with it. Right? It's like getting a $7,000 computer and just using it for word processing. You're like, it's just so massive. It's like having a massive house and only two of you living in it. We are already set to go. Put the foot to the accelerator. Push pedal to the metal. And so we also have a mind. And with a mind, we sometimes only ever use it for lust. And health, we are healthy. But then we slothfully lounge around in our expensive lounge chair.
Then we have eyes, and we use them to watch countless hours of Netflix. And then we have money, and we spend it on our idols. And then we have mouths to speak words of glory, and we use them to cuss and swear and tell pathetic, dirty jokes. We have everything we need in salvation, to be full in salvation. Why are we still moping around about as though we do not have the Spirit of God in us? Whatever we need, it just tells me that God knows what we need, and He does it already, and we are filled in Him. And we sort of like spit in His face and say, I need more and want more. I get it. I'm part of a consumerist society. I get it. I understand capitalism. And there's a transference there, isn't there, that God give me more. And I can't escape that verse. You have been filled in Him more. But it's so much better than that. He's so kind to us, because why does He give us what He gives us? In 2 Peter 1:3, we know this because we memorize that it says His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. That's such a beautiful thank you, Jesus, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them, the promises, look at that, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God brings us and equips us with everything that we need. Everything we need. And then He says, come, Wally, now partake of My divine nature in the ocean of My glory, in all My splendor, in all My majesty, in all My righteousness. Come, join. And as I'm coming, He says, put away the sin. We are to kill the sin and learn and live, diving deep into the ocean of God's glory. The last reality, the reality number three here, is a repetition of what we need to hear, I believe, if not daily, at least weekly. And you have been filled in Him. This means that we are living under the influence of Christ, not Wally. We are under the control of Christ. Our minds are held captive, our thoughts captive by Christ. Our hearts are turned towards His will. Our soul is predisposed. It's predisposed to praise and worship. And our affections, oh, we use them to stir our will and our energy to continue living in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. For if we are filled in Him, we shall become co-heirs of His kingdom. He promises us that. I wanted to say four, but I would just say, but also remember in that little verse, when Paul says you, he means use all, ya all. After 20 years of occupation since the 2001 terrorist attacks, the United States left Afghanistan. They had a deadline for the 31st of August, and it was so hard not to be political these days. It was inefficient. And it only took days before the Taliban had regained and took control again, especially of the main place, Kabul. It's as though they were just waiting for the forces to leave so then they could reoccupy. I guess that's how sin lurks in our lives. The moment that we abandon our warlike stance against it, You know what it's like. It just reoccupies our life. And that's why I'm energized and exercised. I'm trying to encourage you and myself to dive deep in the ocean of God's glory, to learn to breathe in His ocean, to know, hey, it's past tense. You have been filled. Not sometime in the future. It's happened. You are in Him. And so that you have, for you have everything you need. You're souped up, ready to go. You just haven't pressed down on the accelerator yet. But it's in Him. In Him that we are filled. So like a fish, when you leave His ocean and you have learned how to breathe, like everything you need to breathe in His ocean, when you leave His ocean, it's like certain death. That's what it should be like. You know Jesus and in Him so well that when you leave His presence and leave His sphere, it's like you're dying. For believers, we need and must learn to swim in the glory of God and have the dwelling presence of God wrapped around us by filling us, and not with merely anything, but filling us and being filled in Him. Let me pray. Father, thank You that You are a God that does not abandon us, but that once we are with You, the past tense is that we have been filled in You. Help us to live like that. Because when we live like that, it means we are in union with You. And there's no greater experience than that. Jesus, in Your name I pray. Amen.